Do not adjust your television. What you are about to experience is stranger than fiction.
Hey there, strangers. It's your favorite duo. My name's Devin.
Hi, I'm Heidi.
And we are here with Stranger Than Fiction. Heidi, what's Stranger Than Fiction?
It's our podcast.
It is our podcast. If you're not familiar with us, we're the duo behind the YouTube channel Channeling Spirits. We, in that channel, dive into all sorts of pop culture items and kind of explore unusual questions or maybe questions you didn't know you wanted to ask, like...
Why do ghosts wear sheets?
How does the proton pack work? All sorts of interesting
things. My favorite one is on the haunted house.
Yeah. And we're currently editing one about the mummy. So that's going to be released shortly. But in the meantime, we wanted to kind of do a cool tie-in episode with our podcast. Mm-hmm. And so this week, we're not going to be talking about Egyptian mummies, but Inca mummies. So a few updates. If you've been following us, you've known that I've been on this quest to find this book that I think I read in like sixth grade.
Yes.
About cryptozoology and the Mothman. And I had ordered a book called Monsters, Giants, and Little Men from Mars, an Unnatural History of the Americas. I looked it over. I didn't read it like cover to cover. I'm not sure if that was the one. I think it definitely seems familiar, and I feel like I may have like checked it out of the library, but I don't know if that's the one. So if anyone listening out there like knows like a book would have been on cryptozoology, it would have had like, I think, something about the Mothman, definitely something about like the Jersey Devil and the Flatwoods Monster
from the 90s.
Well the book that I had God, that Monsters Giants was from the 70s. So I'm thinking this thing could be that old, maybe the 80s. I feel like it had like, it was a hardcover with like a cream cover. It's kind of like a very vague memory. So if you know anything that might match that, let me know. I'm very curious on tracking that one down. It's near and dear to my heart, but I don't even remember the title. The other thing is I wanted to go back to Jaws because we actually had a really good comment and a good point that I kind of wanted to throw your way. So you remember how we were pretty disparaging on Mrs. Kinter, the older woman having a young boy.
Yeah.
So we actually had a good reply on YouTube from Finn McCool that says, quote, concerning Mrs. Kinter's ability to have an 8-year-old child, if we go by the age of the actress who portrayed her, Lee Fierro, RIP, then she would have been 46 in the summer of 1975, which means she would have been 38 when she became pregnant with her boy, Alex Kinter.
That's definitely doable.
Yeah, so they go on to say the average age for a woman who goes into menopause is 51, though the normal range of years is between 40 and 58. So... I will admit...
I didn't doubt it. I just said that it was like, well...
I'll definitely acknowledge there is a possibility. She did not... She seemed a little older, but, you know, it was the 70s. It's a different time. But kind of getting back on track. So we're going to be exploring what today?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, specifically season 2, episode 4 called Inca Mummy Girl.
Yes.
This was a little bit more, I'm not going to say a request, but more up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start watching Buffy?
Probably when I was like 8.
Oh, wow. That young?
Mm-hmm. Like when it came out, maybe?
I feel like...
I remember watching it on TV.
Yeah. I remember it was on like late at night when I would watch it. And it was like something that I feel like was not probably approved by my parents. Like, I think it would have been kind of on the realm of like, this is probably too scary for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know. But I didn't watch it a lot, not nearly as much as you.
Yeah, I've watched the whole series through 4 or 5 times.
And I have never seen it all the way through.
We stopped the last season.
Yeah,
for you.
We got through. And when did we watch it? Was it like 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
We watched it pretty much all the way through to the last season where, like, Nathan Fillion's an evil priest or something.
Mm-hmm. That's not the last season, but yeah.
Oh, that's the last thing I remember. Maybe we didn't even get to the last season. But anyway, an episode that we enjoyed, which I like because it's not vampire. One of my issues with Buffy is, like, every episode is like, and Buffy kills a vampire.
It's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I get that, but I find that kind of, like, boring when the monster is the same every week. It's kind of like The Walking Dead. Mm. Like, that's one reason I just, like, there's no escalation or difference in the monster. It's just kind of like, yeah, you know, it's a vampire again. Like,
I just couldn't get into Walking Dead because they ate a horse.
Whose horse is that?
That really bothered me. That's literally when
the zombies are the first humans. Episode.
The zombies.
Oh.
First episode, they ate a horse. Spoilers. And I was like, I turned it off.
Oh. Well, maybe one time we'll talk about Walking Dead, right? Yeah, you love it.
If we're going to do zombies, we'll do something different.
Yeah. I think we'll maybe warm like bodies. Day of the Dead. No. But we are on Buffy the Vampire Slayer talking yes. not about vampire slaying, but mummy slaying. Did you like that segue?
Yes.
It's pretty good. So we're going to jump right into
Heidi's dissection.
Okay, so this is in one of the earlier seasons, and you can definitely tell it is very 90s-tastic. Does not look good on a high-definition television.
Like, two of them wearing overalls, like... Willow looks like a painter at one point.
I know.
Like, she's just frumpy or midriffs, just weird choices.
Yeah. But Buffy is all excited because she's getting a foreign exchange student
Which
named Empata.
But just, okay, do foreign exchange students actually happen?
Yes. So, fun fact, in high school, my friend Tori had an exchange student from France.
I didn't think it was actually a thing, I'm going to be honest with mm-hmm. you. It didn't happen in my high school, so I was like, I don't... Is this just like something they made up or
nope.
something that doesn't happen anymore?
Totally happened.
Okay.
And we hung out.
Right. And they were from France?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What did they learn?
I don't know. I only hung out briefly.
Okay.
But I know she's visited him several times in France.
Oh, that's cool.
Since, yeah.
So now from South America.
Yes. Okay, so Buffy's getting a cultural exchange student, foreign exchange student from... South America, named Empata.
I am Empata.
And they all think that Empata's going to be a boy, because he is. and they're getting all excited, and they are going on a school field trip to a museum, which has, like, no security, because they can just come and go as they please. But they get there, and they've got a fun tour guide who...
I was convinced, because the first scene, it looks like he's just holding a pen, and allegedly he has a microphone. But they don't
hello,
do any, like, microphone effect. It's just like he's just, like, talking and holding a pen. And I was like, what is he doing?
And it's not connected.
No, he's just walking around with this, like, I guess wireless microphone, but it doesn't make any microphone, like, echo or any sound change. They're just, like, same audio.
Yeah. So they're getting this tour about... the exhibit, which is their mummy, the Incan mummy, I guess you'll say. And it's about this princess. They have a real mummy there. No glass, by the way.
Nah.
So just anyone can be like, pokey, poke, poke. I feel your leathery skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no ropes. Like, I think they just like walk
yeah,
straight up.
Yeah, literally just like, huh, look at that.
There's a mummy.
Yep, just open air. That's fine. That's not how it would work. Wouldn't like the air pressure do something to it? Or
Especially for this type of mummy.
Because it's like half, it's not really wrapped.
Well, and this type of mummy is not like an Egyptian mummy, and we'll get to that. But needless to say, it would need a massive amount of refrigeration and preservation to keep it mummified.
Right.
In this type of mummy.
Right. So anyway, so they're talking about it. And Willow looks over and she sees one of her classmates, like, randomly, like, scratching at a mask. And he's, like, taking some of the dust or something. And she's like, you probably shouldn't be doing that.
That's probably not something you're supposed to be doing.
And he's like, yeah, it's cool, though.
Oh, no. And they might kick me out of school.
Okay, so and this is jumping ahead, but they set up later that he has braces, which is how they identify his mummified body.
Mm-hmm. I never noticed him having braces.
Yeah, like, I would have to watch it again, but I feel like there should have been a shot where he had a big old grin and you really noticed the braces.
I mean, maybe they did, and we just went...
I'll look back on it, but I do not remember that. I don't even remember this character's name, because he's just disposable. He's, like, disposable bully.
Oh, it's Rodney Munson. He's God's gift to the bell curve.
Yeah, like 90s bully dweeb.
Yeah.
Bleh.
Which, so, like, having braces on a bully...
That's why he's beating up people.
I guess. He's very self-conscious about his teeth.
So, anyway, so they go over to the mummy, and they're looking at her, and they're like, oh, she's holding, like, this weird plate thing that's got a bunch of hieroglyphics on it, and that's supposed to be something about a curse. So the legend story goes that this young girl, who was 16, was sacrificed to a god for her people, and she's like the chosen one, and she was buried alive. That sucks.
Yeah.
And mummified, and yeah, so she was just given as a sacrifice to the gods because reasons. And then Buffy and them, and by them I mean Buffy, Xander, and Willow.
The
and
Scooby
Xander
gang.
Looks pretty good in this season, I'm not gonna lie. I like the hair.
You like 90s Xander?
It's spiky. So it's good. It's when it's the middle part that is not good.
Yeah. Yeah. That classic middle part.
Hate that. Only Sean can pull that off.
From Boy Meets World.
Yes. So anyway, they walk away, and then the bully is doing bully things. But not really. He's just like, I'm going to steal stuff from a museum because I can.
His motives are very weird. But like, doesn't like the whole group like leave? Like, isn't the museum like empty?
Yeah.
But
this bully's like, just yeah, like, man, let me go check out this mummy exhibit, and he's like, oh sweet, that looks cool. He grabs the plate and he breaks it.
It's broken in some way.
He like, or I think like when he picks it up, that like releases the curse, and then she like grabs him.
No,
and that's when he drops it.
I thought the seal had to be broken, which is what released her. So anyway,
so he breaks
seal
the
gets
plate.
Broken
yeah
mummy's alive
And she's like, bah! And she grabs onto him and sucks his life force out of him.
Which, my question was answered later, but I was like, wait, so does anytime she kiss, like, she has no control? And
correct.
Obviously that,
she's
that's...
She's a Dementor. Dementor, Dementor!
Dementor, Dementor!
Thank you.
So... Then Buffy's like, man, I want to go to the school dance. That's happening tomorrow. I really want to go.
Which,
I want to be a normal teenager.
They set up that it's a costume dance?
No, they don't.
What's up with the costumes?
We'll get to that. So Giles is like, yeah, but you're the Slayer, so you can't go to the dance.
Slayer's
got to
slay.
Exactly. Slay. She's all bummed. And, Willow's like, well, I'm going to the dance. And Xander's like, I'm going to the dance too. And Willow's like, I want to go with Xander. And so Buffy's talking to Xander about it. And he's like, yeah, I mean, we're like BFFs. And I see her as a BFF only. So essentially friend zoned. And then Willow walks in and hears that. And she's like,
There is a good motif of lips and kissing. Because, like, he mentions,
yeah,
like... She doesn't have the lips that, like, he would want to kiss or something
yes.
like that.
Buffy, I love Willow. And she's my best friend. Which makes her not the kind of girl who I think about her lips that much.
So I thought that was a good setup.
He's very picky about his lips.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, poor Willow's just, like, friend-zoned. So,
and then Buffy's got to pick up empanada.
So it's empada.
Empanada.
So Buffy goes to pick up empada.
I am Ambeka.
Who is a guy, and he's there before she gets there, but the Incan mummy finds him first, and like, hey, smoochy smoochy with Uchi Uchi, and she magically becomes this gorgeous Southern American woman.
Yeah, and presumably, like, the life force of two people restored her back to
she's good.
16-year-old Incan self.
Yep, she looks great. So then she walks over to Buffy, and she's like, I am Empada.
I am Empada.
And I couldn't help think of that moment from Bridesmaids.
Mrs. Iglesias.
I am Mrs. Iglesias.
I am Mrs. Iglesias. Mrs. Iglesias.
And Xander's like, awooga! Like, his eyes pop out of his head like a 90s cartoon, essentially, because she is the bee's knees. And
I feel like, and I know they had to do this like in one episode, but I did feel like his interest was a little forced and a little
Not really. Xander goes for anything that is pretty and walks.
That doesn't make it good writing.
No, that's
I know
just
he was interested in a praying mantis.
Very shallow. He had a thing for Buffy. He just has bad taste in women.
It's true.
So anyway, so he's all about Empata. And they bring her back to Buffy's house, and then her mom randomly shows up and's like, hey, I exist. And then she goes
then she
away and
never shows up
back.
Again. Like, you'd think if this culture exchange student is going to be in her house, like, she would have helped pick her up or him up.
No.
Like, also, so when Tori had the culture exchange, mm-hmm. was it male or female?
It was a guy.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I would think that they'd want to, like, maybe keep, like, female with female, so no funny business. Oh, okay. Or that.
So they're at Buffy's house, and she's like, oh, man, you have it all. You've got this beautiful, normal life. And Buffy's like, yeah, not really, but that's cool. And Empanada, great, now you got me calling her that. Empanada's like, I want to go to the dance. And Xander's like, I'll take you to the dance. And so they
I've
go
known
to
you
the
for
dance.
45 minutes.
Exactly. So they're going to go to the dance together. In the meantime, though, they find out that the bully's gone missing. And so the Scooby Gang, as we call them, Xander, Giles, Willow, and Buffy, go back to the museum to look for him because that was the last place he was seen. And they check out the Inca mummy exhibit and see that there's a mummy in there, but it's definitely not the princess because it has braces.
Yeah, and that's where you get that, oh, it's got to be the bully,
exactly.
Apparently.
Yeah, and then they see that the plate is broken and they only have a couple pieces of it. And so they take that and they take it to Empata because they're like, ah, you're from South America. You should be able to read this, even though it's in hieroglyphics.
I don't remember what. I mean, it would have been an ancient Inca.
Right? And she's like, oh, yeah, I can read this. It says, like, the curse, like, if you can't break the seal or the curse is lifted, and something about a bodyguard.
I think this represents, I believe the word is bodyguard.
They're like, bodyguard? That's weird.
No, but and they saw the bodyguard when they were checking out the mummified bully.
Yes, and it's one of my favorite Native American gentlemen who plays Jacob Blackstad in Twilight. He's in the wheelchair. Love that man. He's also in Kimmy Schmidt. He plays a Native American father in that, too. That's just his role. He's just a Native American father.
But that's, and I guess to a point, Incas would have been technically Native Americans. Mm-hmm. They're Native Central or Southern Americans. But that's my problem with casting. They're like, you are vaguely
you're
not
tan.
Yeah,
we can just make you anything.
You're not white. You want to be a Incan bodyguard? And he's like, okay.
I mean, when I worked at Disney, I knew a lot of Pocahontases that were Hispanic.
Yeah.
Most of them are.
But that's kind of my problem, is there's that casting issue, and then there's a lot of other issues with the costumes, but we'll get there.
So anyway, so she's real sketchy about this bodyguard thing. She's like, nah, you guys should just destroy this seal. Just get rid of it.
You know,
I don't like it.
It's an ancient artifact.
Yeah,
you should just destroy it. It's priceless, but destroy it.
And they're like, whoa, why are you being so twiggy about this? And then they're like, let's talk about the dance again. And so Empata gets ready for the dance, which she dresses up as an Incan princess, question mark?
But again, I don't remember the costume aspect being set up.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, it's a cultural dance.
It's part of this whole cultural exchange, Megilla. The exhibit, the dance.
I have the best costume for the dance.
It's where you have to dress like you're from a certain nation.
I don't remember that
at
all.
And so Xander dresses up as
the man with no name.
Okay.
Famous spaghetti western.
Okay, but so he's western.
Yes.
Right?
He's a cowboy.
I thought he was wearing a poncho. I thought he was Mexican.
Well, jumping ahead, it's if you're not familiar, there are several films called spaghetti westerns, which were western films that were made in Italy.
Spaghetti.
But Xander is wearing a costume from The Man with No Name. So it was starring Clint Eastwood. You've probably seen it. It may be the film, in Back to the Future, where he's got a bulletproof vest and he's got the poncho over it. I think, don't quote me, I apologize if I'm incorrect, it may be the same film, but
that's what Xander's dressed up as?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
So that's why he says, I'm from the country of Lyon, is referencing that director.
And then Willow is dressed up as an Inuit,
which just has all sorts of problems. And then later there's a Caucasian girl that's a geisha, and I'm like, this is not aging well.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
And then Cordelia is like Hawaiian Barbie.
Yeah, she's just like in a swimsuit. I don't think she's any culture other than just like, okay, how did you get to a school dance wearing a bathing suit? But bigger question, how did Willow get in with a harpoon?
Where did she get the harpoon?
Well, I'm not worried about that. They stole it from the museum that doesn't have any security.
Yeah, because
they go in and out of there constantly, and no one questions anything. I'm like, does it not have cameras or anything?
It's fine.
Anyway, so they're at the dance.
Yeah, so they're at the dance. Buffy isn't. She's at home, and she's, you know, she's out to find this bodyguard. Oh, because Xander and the girl are in the bleachers all giggly and smugly together before the dance, and the bodyguard comes up and tries to attack them and is like, I need the plate, the seal. And Xander's like, that was weird.
Yeah, and then they're just like, hey, this guy attacked us.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So then the bodyguard follows the Incan princess into the bathroom, and she's like, you're done.
I have no choice.
Yes, I do.
I choose life, and she kisses him and sucks his life out.
And I think, is it around this time where Giles realized that the translation isn't bodyguard?
Yeah, it's
but like
to keep.
Yeah, like
it's to protect her from awakening.
Yeah,
that's what the bodyguard is.
It's a guardian, but to protect against.
To keep her down.
Yeah. So at this point, she's killed what, 3 people?
Yes. So anyway, they're at the dance, and they're dancing and grooving and having a good time, and then Seth Green's band is on the stage, and he's all near, near, near on the guitar, and then he looks up and he sees Willow dressed as an Eskimo. He's like, who is that girl?
Which, like, I get it. It's almost romantic, but it just seems goofy.
Who's that girl?
Who's that
and
hot Inuit?
His mustache and goatee are atrocious.
Yeah, they look like they were just, like, put on with spirit gum. Like, they don't look like he grew them. Because it feels like it's, like, crooked. And I don't think... Does his character later have facial hair? I don't remember him having it.
It's just, he's in the band.
He's so cool. He's got like a soul patch and a creeper stash. It's great.
A crooked creeper stash. The Incan princess, Empata, and Xander go to kiss, and she's like, no, I can't do this. And she runs away, and she looks at her hand. She's like, but I need some food because my hand's getting crispy. And so she drags poor little Jonathan in, who Jonathan is one of my favorite characters. This is the first time you see him. He's dressed as Steve Irwin's son.
Yeah. He's
from Australia, but dressed as a park ranger.
Yeah.
And she drags him into a room, and he's like, wait, I thought you were with Xander.
Aren't you with Xander?
That's literally how he sounds.
It's not a bad impression
of him. He's 5 feet tall. And she's like, does it look like I'm with Xander? And then she goes to kiss him, and you hear Xander go, Empata! And then Jonathan runs away, and Xander comes in, and he's like, hey, there you are. And she's like, crying. And he's like, what's wrong? Just tell me. And then she's like, I can't do it. And then she ends up kissing him, which is fine because it's like slow kisses and not like, I think it's when she reaches her hand on their head.
I assumed it was more duration. Like she didn't kiss him long enough.
It's really awkward kissing.
Because their lips are like, it's not kissing. They're just kind of like bouncing off each other for a few times. And then like presumably
and
they
kiss.
And
then finally they go in for like a longer kiss, and she brings her crispy hand up to his head and pushes him in. And that's when he feels his life getting sucked out of him. Dementor, Dementor. Yeah. And then she's like, oh no, I can't do this. And then he just like falls on the ground. He's all right. He's just, you know, some of his life got sucked away. I've just taken 1 year of your life. How do you feel?
Interesting.
And anyway, so then she runs off, and Buffy comes in because she realized, the girl I'm hosting is the Incan princess, because she goes through her stuff and she finds a mummified corpse.
And doesn't Empata like realize like psychically like, oh, Giles is about to like reassemble the seal? Or does she just stumble onto him in the museum?
I think she just goes there. Yeah, she just stumbles on him. So,
which he's using like rubber cement, which I don't know how that's supposed to like
back together.
But it's with rubber cement. That's not going to hold.
Anyway, so Buffy's like, "Sorry, Xander, your girlfriend's the mummy," and he's like, "Yeah, I have the worst taste in women."
And yet continues through the entire series having terrible taste in women.
Correct.
Good character arc, Xander.
And so they are at the museum, and Empata's there, and she attacks Giles because she's
because he's got breaks the rubber plate. Cement.
And she breaks the plate, and then she goes, she like knocks him out, which I don't know why that would have been ample time just to like get him,
like suck his soul out.
Yeah, so she puts him like in her tomb, and then Buffy comes ready to kick some butt, but the Incan Princess is like, "Yeah, well, I'm strong too." She puts Buffy in the coffin too, so Buffy and Giles are just chilling in this coffin,
like,
and she closes the lid on top of them, so they can't get out. And Willow comes, and Empata's like, "I'm gonna get this one." And Xander comes. He's like, "No, you aren't. That's my BFF." And he's like, "She's like, please, you love me. Let me just have this one." And he's like, "Nah. If you're gonna eat anyone, let it be me.
You want life? You're gonna have to take mine."
Okay. That's my favorite part.
She's like, "Fine."
She's like, "Fine, I'll do it." And then she starts to suck his soul away. But then Buffy, being the strong BA girl that she is, kicks open the tomb, kicks some butt, and it's literally like she's like draining the mummy's like draining. And so it's not very easy. She just like kicks her, and she's like half mummified anyway already. And so then her hands just fall off, and she just like crisps onto the floor.
Just dead. Priceless artifacts, priceless mummy,
and
just on the floor.
That's the end
no
of the episode.
No security, nothing.
That's the end of the episode.
Xander has learned nothing. Buffy slayed a mummy. I think good change. If you were to review this, how many stakes would you put in this episode? 1 through 10?
I give it an 8.
Give it a 4.
Ouch! I love Buffy.
I know you do. Maybe like 5. I don't think this ages well, and I think I'm viewing it from a lens of like watching it in 2021 when this aired in like 97 actually. So I think there are some definite issues. I think it's also, so my question to you is, knowing Joss Whedon and some of his unsavory things that he's done, has that changed how you like perceive this at all?
You know, I actually thought about that during the episode when I saw Cordelia in her, like, sexy outfit. I was like, "Oh, I wonder if she got shit for that."
Yeah.
You know, like, bothered by the crew and by Joss for, like, looking hot. Because she's gorgeous. Cordelia is a gorgeous woman.
And was she was the one that, yeah, like, got pregnant and was, like, written off and, like, yeah. So, if you're not familiar, look up Joss Whedon.
Being a douche.
He was probably not as great of a guy or as a feminist as he has spoken and claimed to be. Mm-hmm. So I think I struggle with that too, that there's a lot of baggage behind that. But overall, I think it's okay.
You know, I don't think it's changed my view on Buffy, because I like to just separate the two.
See the art without the artist.
Just like with, you know, J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter, I separate the two.
Oh, see, I can't watch a Kevin Spacey movie. Or,
oh, well, that's
like,
different. I can't do that either.
I think because he's very present. Like, you see him.
Yes.
At least with, like, J.K. Rowling, you can just, like, kind of forget.
Exactly.
Because you're reading or watching Harry Potter. Yeah, I don't... Mine's not as favorable, but
I mean, it's not my favorite episode, but I just love the show, so.
Okay. Well, I was talking about the episode, but...
Fine. I give it a 6, then.
Okay. All right, moving on to Behind the Screams. I know, you can't resist. So, going back, this aired October 6th, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I was confused, where I was like, wait, was this supposed to be kind of like a Halloween-y episode? Because I didn't remember them establishing why they were all wearing costumes at this dance. But
yeah,
I guess...
I think it was because of the cultural exchange program.
Sure, which, what? Buffy's the only one who got a cultural exchange student?
No, Cordelia did too.
She had the Swedish guy.
Who actually spoke English.
Yeah, and he was a Viking. I was like, well, that's not fair. you're just being yourself. So, but
so was the Incan princess.
Yeah, it's true. But keep that 1997 date in mind because it will have play later.
Okay.
This was written by former series story editors Matt Klein and Joe Rakenmeier.
Okay.
It was directed by Ellen S. Pressman. She would later direct another episode called Puppet Show for Buffy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't like that one.
This was filmed largely in the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County. So was a real museum, not a set piece.
No security, though.
I would hope that I'd like to visit there and see if they
I'm sure they have security.
They had some cool dinosaurs. It looked cool.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, this is the first appearance of Seth Green and Danny Strong. Mm-hmm. Danny Strong is Jonathan Levinson.
Love him.
Who I looked up. He's a great writer. He's a producer. He actually wrote Mockingjay Part 1 and 2.
What?
He's like won several awards. Like he's actually very accomplished, much more than this like goofy, awkward role that he played in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
So props to Danny Strong for, you know, going from this goofy little bit part that turned into a reoccurring role and villain. And really, his career has just skyrocketed. Other fun facts. So Empata is actually a reference to Empato, and also Sabanyanka, which I know they referenced in the episode.
Incan people sacrificed their princess to the mountain god Sabancaya.
I don't know if it was the name of the bodyguard. I know they mentioned it, but both of them are volcanoes in Peru.
Oh.
And that again, will come in play later. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind.
Okay.
So as you mentioned before, he's listed just as Peru Man, but he's played by Gil Birmingham. As you said, that's Billy Black in Twilight. He's done all sorts of things. I think the mummifying kiss is interesting, and I kind of wonder, it reminded me of the amazing hit starter to the Dark Universe, The Mummy 2017, where she does a lot of mummifying kisses.
Mm.
So, like, I was like,
did I even see that?
I don't think you did. I watched it literally on a plane because there was nothing else to watch.
I was sitting next to you. I just didn't plug in.
But anyway, it has the same motif of a female mummy who her kiss mummifies people and, like, sucks their life force out. So I kind of like, did they get inspired by this? Was it just kind of, you know, two different things? But all just kind of interesting little factoids there. And now I want to move on to the next section. Are you ready?
Yes.
We're going to explore
the truth.
Much as you try to bury it, the truth is out there.
All right. So a little bit of a content warning here. This next part does involve child sacrifice. So if that is upsetting for you, this may not be for you. But just a little heads up there. So the true story behind all this goes back to an actual mummy called, and I apologize if I botch up any of these pronunciations because I am a English speaker, I'm not a Spanish speaker, Mumia Juanita, which is Spanish for Mummy Juanita, is also known as the Lady of Empato and the Ice Maiden. So it was named Juanita after the anthropologist that discovered her, Johann Reinhard. She was actually found in a dormant stratovolcano, Mount Empato, in southern Peru in 1995. So this was a relatively event that likely inspired the writers. So this mummy, I believe, was actually like traveling around. So that when she mentions, she's like, oh, I've been
to New York and Chicago and Atlanta.
Yeah. So that's the joke there, is this was actually traveling around. And this was a pretty recent event for the time when this was written. So my question, the first thing that I asked when I was watching this, I was like, okay, well, did the Incas actually sacrifice people? Because to me, the South American culture, or I think they're Central American, I think of the Aztecs when I think of sacrifice, human sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So I was like, do the Incas even do that? So I had to look it up. And so here's the real story is, yes, this girl was actually believed to be approximately 12 to 15 years old. So when she said she was 16, that's pretty true. They were offered to the Incan gods, or what are called Apus. This was believed to have happened sometime between 1440 and 1480. According to a Huffington Post article written December 15th, 2011, quote, it was customary for the Incans to choose a child at birth to be raised as an offering for the gods. For the parents, it was the ultimate honor. The child, it must have been less than ideal. Which, I think that is an understatement.
You growing up knowing that you're going to get sacrificed?
Well, I wonder if the child knew. Obviously, the parents did. I'm curious on what the criteria was that. They're like, oh, you have a very strong baby. We would like to sacrifice it. They're like, okay. Anyway, the ritual sacrifice was called Capacocha. And according to Wikipedia, a key component for the Incan Empire, it was a ritual which usually involved the sacrifice of children, was for celebratory events. These events included an annual or biennial event in the Incan calendar. Sometimes the death of the emperor, or the birth of a royal son, or a victory in battle.
So they would sacrifice
children for all these reasons.
For to celebrate? It's not like, hey, we want really good harvest this year, so we sacrifice someone for you.
I'm getting to that. And literally the last reason was they were performed to prevent natural disasters such as volcanic eruptions, droughts, earthquakes, and epidemics. So a Juanita was dressed in her finest clothes and jewelry, and she was led up the volcano by priests. They carried heavy clay pots full of chica, which is a highly alcoholic corn beer, coca leaves, food, and offerings for the burial site. So you know what coca leaves are?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not familiar, if you know Coca-Cola, coca is the plant where cocaine is derived. So if you've heard the myth that that Coca-Cola had cocaine, it's not quite true. It contained the plant that cocaine can be made from, which is coca. So they carried all this to the burial site, and at the summit, she was given, essentially, cocaine and beer. So she got super high and super drunk, and then she was told to sit on this blanket. And then what happened to this individual is, behind her, a priest took a sharp object and dealt a lethal blow to the back of her head. She was buried with the other sacrificial offerings.
Was she buried alive?
It's hard to say. You know, I don't know if that blow was hard enough to instantly kill her, or it was being buried, or the cold, but she was clearly, you know, at least inebriated enough to hopefully not kind of realize what was going on, which I think was the point, because if you were a rational person and you realize you were about to be sacrificed, which is why I think maybe the child didn't know. I'm not sure. Pretty sad regardless. So her body would have naturally decomposed, except there was an eruption of a nearby volcano, Sabanyanka, which caused the snow cap of Mount Empado to melt and preserve her. So a total of 13 mummies were found in Empado. While Juanita was killed by a blow to the back of her head, others died of strangulation or being buried alive.
Oh, God.
So there were some that, you know, I don't know if they were just kind of drunk, passed out, and they just buried them. But yes, some were actually buried alive. So my second question was, okay, well, was this an Incan princess? And yes and no. So there's some evidence that suggests she could have come from a noble Cusco, which is the Incan capital.
Cusco!
I knew you were going to do that. A noble Cusco family. So at the very least, she may not have been a princess, but probably the child of a wealthy family or maybe a noble family. Through extracting DNA from her hair, they were able to determine her diet. She was eating food such as animal protein and maize. So that would have been the diet of elites. If you were poor, rural, you're only going to be eating vegetables. You wouldn't have had that protein. So that's how they were kind of able to determine that.
Sad times.
So there were eruptions on Misti from 1440 to 1450 and an eruption on Sabanyanka during 1466. So these eruptions probably led to these offerings. Like, in their minds, they're like, oh no, gods are getting upset. We need to, you know, we need to give these offerings, make them happy.
Which is crazy to me.
Well, for them, in their mind, the survival of the crops would have been dependent on the mountain deity to provide the water. So the idea being they needed that ice cap to melt so the water would flow down, which would then feed their crops. So water was a life-giving and perceived to be connected with femininity and fertility. So therefore, a female was needed to be sacrificed. That was the Incan logic.
Got it.
So that is the real story behind Mummy Juanita.
The human sacrifice is about to begin.
So when I say that just having... She was frozen. Mm-hmm. And so when they found her, they had to like very quickly transport to preserve her, because that's how she was preserved, is essentially frozen. So you couldn't just have that Incan mummy in an open tomb where people could just touch her. She would have to be under a lot of protective and refrigerative devices.
Have they ever frozen a human and then unfroze them to see if they would be alive?
Like, are you talking about Austin Powers?
Well, no, but there's, I mean, no, there's some fish that happens. So, like, could that happen to a human?
You're talking about cryogenics.
Yeah.
And so, I'm not an expert on this, so I'm kind of speaking from what I remember. But what I believe they've done is taken a human being, a willing participant, and drain their blood and put antifreeze in. And then frozen them to preserve the body. So the trick is, can you freeze someone? Yes. Can you bring them back? I don't believe they figured out a way to drain the antifreeze, put the blood back in, and revive this person.
Got it.
Or persons. I may totally be wrong. I think I remember reading that somewhere. Let me know if you're familiar with cryogenics a little bit more. Maybe you're Mr. Freeze. But my question is, Do you think Mummy Juanita is really a mummy?
I mean, when you say mummy, my mind automatically goes to, you know, Egyptian mummies where they're wrapped and their organs are taken out. So, no. Well, I mean, technically, yes, because her skin is, like, leathery and gross. So, I don't know. Yes, no.
It's a hard question for me to answer, too, because, like, in reading on a little heads up on the mummy episode we're doing, mum, which is the, I think, Persian word for bitumen, is how the Arabs, initially established the word mumia and mummy. So, to me, a mummy is more strictly Egyptian because it describes that look and that process.
And the wrapping.
But if you're talking about broader mummification, I'm not sure what the qualifications are. And I feel like this is more like frozen corpse that was preserved more from freezing than any sort of like the process of mummification.
To answer my own question about the people freezing, Anna was frozen in the movie Frozen. And she thawed out and was fine.
I literally thought you had something important to say. But there's also, have you heard of bog people?
No.
There are people that they have found in bogs.
Okay.
And that the bogs have preserved them. And they found these like weird, like mummy-like bodies in bogs.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like dead bodies. I like skeletons, but not dead bodies.
Do you think mummies are...
Gross, absolutely.
Do you think they're like an actual like worthy monster? Like I feel like the time of the
it's
mummy
just a dead
has
person.
Like it's just kind of like I don't find mummies to be very threatening monsters, which I think is weird that they went to the start.
Because they don't do anything.
Yeah, I think like a lot of times they are just kind of like slow moving. They're on very rare occasions are they sexy, so they're not like.
Yeah.
Like I
like that rap.
Mummies, I think, are even worse because, yeah, there is this sort of, like, you're just, like, moldy and dusty and...
Gooey. You're just... goo.
Juicy.
Juicy.
Yes.
Ugh. Ugh. Juicy mummies.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say, you know, do you believe in mummies? Because, obviously, this mummy was very real.
I mean, mummies exist. Yes. That is a truth fact. Now I'm a
believer. Well, it's hard, you know. A lot of times we usually ask, like, well, do you believe this? And it's like, well, if you don't...
Do I believe that a mummy could come back to life to eat people? No.
Well, that's fair. I don't believe that either.
But do I believe in mummies? Yes.
Let us know if you believe in mummies. We're very curious on your thoughts.
Isn't that from something? from The Office, Kevin's like, wait, mummies exist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't believe in things that aren't real, like mummies or unicorns. And like, Oscar's like, mummies are real. Mummies are in museums.
Mummies are real. There are mummies at museums.
Why on earth would a museum put a mummy in it?
Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoy mummies, we love mummies. We love Egyptology a little bit more than we love Incantology.
I am a mummy.
But we are going to be posting very shortly a new video called What Inspired the Mummy, as in the 1932 film, and go through the long history of mummies in Western pop culture.
Brendan Fraser.
Juicy.
Yes.
What inspired some of the tropes, like the slow-moving mummy, and kind of how it's evolved. We don't include anything on Incan mummies like this, but we hope you enjoyed this little kind of tangential side to it as well. So, my name's Devin.
My name's Heidi.
And thank you so much for joining us. See you next time.
Meow, meow.